Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to this very special edition of the Tilehurst End Podcast, focusing on the Reading FC women's team. Yes, sometimes we like to take our eye off the men's team, and certainly when the women's team were doing so well, it would be rude to ignore them. So I went down on Wednesday afternoon and spoke to Farah Williams and Joe Potter, both England internationals and Reading players for the last couple of years, to really get into how the women's game has changed over the last few years, why they came to Reading, what they expected, and later on in the show, I'll be talking to Paula Martin, a Reading fan, who goes down to every game at Wickham, and of course on Saturday is their massive game, 2pm against Liverpool, at the Madejski Stadium. It's a game that Reading FC men's season ticket holders can go to for free. Anyone else turn up on the day and go and watch the last home game of the season before they go to Everton and wrap up the campaign. It's really been a good campaign. So I started by talking to Joe Potter and just asking her how she sees the differences between the game now and how it was when she joined back in the mid-2000s.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetilehurstend.com.
You've come to Reading relatively recently. How do you see the difference from your career now to how it started and all the sort of facilities and the state of women's football?
Yeah, it's pretty different from when I first started playing football because, I was playing senior football at 14, and so that's relatively different to what happens now. You know, you've got age groups which makes the progression of the kids' development a lot better. You know. It does have its pros and cons being thrown in at the deep end at such a young age, but you know, it's a bit of a sink or swim, and luckily for me I swam, so you know, it helped me to develop and play senior football a lot earlier. But you know, you look around now and you've got under 10s, under 12s, 14s, 16s, development team, academy teams, and the growth of women's football has been massive since I've started playing, because when I first started playing there was just one team, and it was just a senior team, and that was it. You know, you had to play for a different kids team and then move on to a senior team. So you know, it's from then to now in the space of 20 years it's been huge how the game's come on.
And when you joined Reading, what were the sort of expectations around the team? Because I mean, this season, as far as we can tell, has surpassed all sort of imagination as to how well it's going to have gone. And you know, what was the hope and the dream, just to stay up in the top flight or to do a little bit more? And I mean, to add on to that as well, if you did break into the top two and get the Champions League, how massive would that be?
Yeah, it would be massive. You know, I think the club's come a long way in such a short period of time, and they've showed their ambition and where they want to go with signings and moving forward with the facilities and the environment around the team and around the group and around the club as a whole. And when I first came in a year ago with it, that what I really liked and what drew me to the club was the ambition and the drive and, you know, wanting to make women's football better and wanting to make their players better, and you know, and I think just in a short period of time, within a year, you can see how far we've come, and I think people are probably a little bit surprised at the results and where we're sitting in the table at the moment, but us as a group, we're not. I think because we know our standards and we know how we like to drive day in, day out, that you know, it doesn't come as a surprise for us. We hold our expectations high, and we're really happy that we're living up to them, really.
Yeah. What does it take to get to the Chelsea and Man City level? Because obviously they had a lot of investment, a lot of the teams that are doing well now are kind of linked to the men's teams that obviously have a lot of investment as well. What does it take for a club like Reading to jump to that level?
Yeah, I think it's difficult because when you look at Chelsea and Man City, they're Premier League teams and they're flying high at the top of the league. And, you know, for them to throw money at the women's teams, it's a lot easier than what it is for other clubs. You know, we're very grateful what we do get from the men's team, and as I say, we're fairly new to this level. I think Chelsea and Man City have been doing it for quite some time now, and it's Man City were new to it 6 years ago, and look how long it's took them to get to where they are, and look where we are in 2 years. So you know, I think if you look at the incline that we're going at, that the investment helps massively, being able to attract big players and pay them the money that, you know, that they've been on in other countries definitely helps. But you know, we know that we can't quite meet the budget of the other team, so what we do is we work even harder off the pitch and on the pitch. So on the training pitch, we're working hard day in, day out, and you see the amount of work that the staff are putting in all hours of the day, and you know, it's like the day never really ends, and it just goes to show that hard work does pay off when you don't really have things handed to you in budget wise.
Absolutely. And in terms of
comparing the sort of English women's games to the European women's game, what can fans sort of see as the difference? What do you see as the difference between teams on the continent and teams back home? What's the, in terms of style, sort of recruitment, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think you see how well Chelsea and Man City have done in Champions League this year. They've both got to the semi-final stage. So, you know, it just goes to show the gap is closing with English football and the rest of the European teams. But I think in England, it's a bit of an all-round game. I think you can expect everything. It does take the foreign players a season or two to come in and kind of get to grips with the speed and the pace and probably the physicality of the league, which has always been there. But now we're getting to a stage where we're much better technically on the ball. Players now are most teams are full time, so we have a lot more contact time on the pitch with the ball, at our feet. So it's only going to improve, and you can definitely see that on the European stage.
Yeah, talking about the England women's team as well, you've got the World Cup qualifiers as one against Russia, I think it is, in the summer. How do you see the current qualification for that going? Because the England women haven't conceded a goal yet, but they've dropped points against Wales and play Wales again later in the summer. How do you see that going?
Yeah, I only see us getting a win, and I only see us qualifying. And, you know, we're not second in the world for no reason. And, you know, there's been times in big competitions and in big games where pressure has been put on our heads and we've came up on top. So, you know, I think when it actually matters and when push comes to shove, we come out winning. So, you know, it'll be a difficult trip to Russia, but I fully expect us to come back with 3 points.
Absolutely, and there's a couple more questions for me then. So, what in looking at the women's game in general, how much it's sort of grown, I think it being on the BBC has had a big impact on that as well in the last few years. What do you think is the next step then? What's the next thing that needs to sort of elevate women's football again?
Yeah, I think when there's only ad hoc games that happen on BBC and on BT Sport, I think for us to go to the next level, there needs to be a wider coverage. I think, you know, games that are probably televised week in, week out, as opposed to just
one-offs
and one game every month or one game every other week. And, you know, it's definitely increased. I think it's increased nearly 100% over the last couple of years to how many games are actually played on TV now. But I think, you know, the backing that women's teams are getting now from their male counterparts is brilliant. You see Man United coming in and bringing a women's team in now, and I think they actually said at one point that they wouldn't have one because it didn't make sense from a business perspective, and now you can see that's changing. And for a big, massive club like Man United to change their mind, we must be doing something right and going in the right direction.
Yeah. I wonder in terms of, because there's a lot of talk at the moment about the men's game and how a lot of men obviously earn a lot of money when they're young and then they finish playing football and they kind of are stranded in a sense. Yeah. With women's game, it's being more full-time now, but with it being part-time for a lot of it as well, how does that differ for the women's game? How does the sort of post-career sort of sense change?
Yeah, I think it puts you in a good stead. Well, it's definitely put me in a good stead because, you know, I had to work full-time as well as playing. So, you know, I've already had to taste the life of working and earning a living and working not just 9 to 5, but early mornings, late evenings.
What was that in, sorry?
I worked for the FA for 8 years.
Ah, of course.
Coaching football, you know, and I've done a range of different things. You know, I've worked in a bar. I've done different things, anything that I could that, you know, that helped me earn money so I could go and play football.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think having to, you know, balance up your lifestyle and your social and your football and your professional life is difficult. And I think if you can do that whilst playing football, it's only going to put you in a good stead after, because it's not going to come as such of a shock to the system. Whereas I think a lot of our male counterparts come out of football and don't really know what to do with themselves. Mm. And if they're not interested in coaching or not interested in managing, then they're a bit stranded and don't know what to do. And it's really sad to see. I think this is where a lot of the mental health issues come in. Mm. But, you know, it, as long as the young guys now and the young girls now, because a lot of the ones coming through, they've only ever been professional. So the ones that are coming through now, as long as they've got, you know, the right people leading them and the help along the way, I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah. And last thing for me then is, what is one thing that Reading fans don't know about you? One sort of extra little fact that sort of that may have escaped the media's attention so far, or something just to say about yourself?
They may not know that I have actually played in a semi-final of the Champions League a few years ago. Yeah, with Birmingham, we got to the semi-final stage. I don't think it's spoken about too much because it wasn't a Man City or a Chelsea or an Arsenal, you know, but a few seasons ago we actually went on a really good run and got knocked out the second leg of the semi-final stage. So
who was that against?
It was against Tereso, Swedish team.
The Scandinavian teams are decent, aren't they?
They had Marta playing for them. They had Bouquet, they had Sega, so they had some real established internationals. And, you know, it was only the second leg away that we'd actually got beat. We was 0-0 at home, so you know, it's just unfortunate we went out there to try and win it, and you know, their experience shone at the end of the day.
Excellent, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks very much to Joe then for talking to us, and we'll move on now as I talk to Farrell Williams, the most capped England player in football of all time period. And I must point out that this interview took place next to a football match, so you may kind of wonder why there's a bit of more atmosphere than you might have expected.
So yeah, welcome to the Tarlhurst End. Thank you for popping by, and you've just done your training there, so it's all systems go ahead of the Liverpool game. What's the hope for the end of the season then? Where's the place in the table that you want to be?
Yeah, we want to finish as high as we can. I think, you know, we're sitting nicely in third at the minute. I mean, we can only control the next two games that we have against Liverpool and Birmingham, and if we win those, we put ourselves in a good position to finish there if other results go our way. So our focus is to get 3 points on Saturday against Liverpool and then the following week against Birmingham.
So when you joined the club, what the sort of expectations that came in? Was this where you thought the club was going to be? Was this the sort of the vision that was sold to you, or have we actually exceeded expectations quite a lot this year?
Yeah, there was a lot promised and a lot fulfilled. I think everything that was promised to me has been fulfilled. You know, when I come and spoke to Kel and Phil, they spoke to me about improving me as a player, and at the time in the back of my head I've always wanted to improve, and I know that you never stop learning, but at 34 I was thinking, how much more can I learn? And I've probably learned more about myself as a player, and I've probably learned more technically as a player this year than I have in the last 15 years. So they definitely fulfilled their promise, and I'd advise any young player or older player, player that wants to improve as a player, not just thinking about money, if they want to get better, this is the club to be at. I think we've proved that in the way in which we play and the time and effort that the staff we have here put into each individual player.
So what is it that the extra sort of ingredient you're saying sort of off the pitch compared to your sort of Man City's and Chelsea's, what is it that the club need to do to sort of get up to that level?
I think we're there. I think with the players that we've got here now, I think with the results that we've had, the performances we've had against top teams, I think players are starting to take note of us, and teams are starting to take note and look at us. And you know, I've heard a few big players that, you know, talk about, you know, I'd love to be at a Reading team. So it's not, you know, we're not going under the radar. We're exposing ourselves and we're doing the right things. And you know, as I say, this is a club where it's not just about money, it's about if you want to play, if you want to get better, and if you want to start to win things. This is a team that is going places in that area in the women's game, and it's a fantastic club to be at with fantastic people and people that want to work to improve you.
So looking back from your start of your career to now, and obviously sort of working full time at the moment, hopefully moving into the Bearer training ground when that's done, what's the sort of main differences you see compared to when you started the game? Obviously it's more part time, perhaps people having to play with the men's young teams to get into the game. What's the sort of differences you feel have come out?
Just day to day, being able to live a professional lifestyle, understanding what you can and can't do away from the pitch. I think before, when we had to work and train, you know, we wanted a social life, there was, you know, too much to juggle. I think now, being a professional, you know what you have to do to keep yourself in, you know, tip-top condition at whatever age you're at. I think, you know, even the youngsters, they can't get away with, you know, what, still wanting to be social with their mates. I think you've got to take it serious. I think the training facilities that we now have, I think all the resources around that, strength conditioning, sports scientists, analysis, tactical, technical coaches. So I think, yeah, having all that now compared to what you had 10, 15 years ago when I started, it's changed dramatically.
Yeah, and in terms of, I suppose, in comparison to the men's game, because it's obviously now full-time but kind of used to be part-time, so looking to your sort of post-playing career, how is that different to the men's game and everything like that? Do you think that it's perhaps given you a better chance to look towards your post-career, or is that something that sort of has not been drilled into you as much?
Not really. No, I mean, I hate comparing men and women's football. I really do. I mean, skill level and tactical and technical, you know, those type of things, it's the same, isn't it? The game's the same. When it comes to money and career before, like after and etc. I think it's totally different where they're at and where we're at. We're always going to have to think of what we're going to do next, and we're never going to be in a position, I don't believe, where we can retire comfortably without thinking about what next. I would encourage young players coming through that they stay in education for as long as they can. If they can mix the both, which now at Reading you can do 16 to 19, you can do your college and you can do football, which I'd highly recommend for all the clubs moving forward and all the young players to take the opportunity up. And then, yeah, you do have to make sure that you've got a career behind you for when you finish.
definitely not in a position to not be thinking about that. But there are resources to help us with our next with our future move. So yeah. I think that's important that we get that support as well.
Yeah, and for the people listening to this, how would you describe if, you know, maybe not this year, but for next year, if Reading can get into the sort of Champions League, what's the sort of style differences between the sort of teams on the continent and domestic women's teams? How do you see the sort of differences and similarities in that?
There's a few differences. When you look at the other team, you look at the likes of Lyon, they're a team made up, a full squad of starting international players. I think so. They're in, and the same with Wolfsburg. I look at them, you know, the two teams that are going to be in the Champions League final. Here in England, we're trying to attract English players, but it's difficult. We don't get that many games, not that many competitive games, and international full internationals don't want to be sitting on the bench, so it's really hard. You could probably end up with a team of internationals that start a starting 11, but you ain't going to get subs at international level that want to sit around, unless they're on a salary where, you know, they're not really motivated by playing and they're more motivated by money. I don't think we're going to get that here. It's difficult. I think if you look at the likes of Chelsea and Man City, they've struggled to have a squad big enough to go and compete in the latter stages of the Champions League. But I think that, you know, I'd love for us here to achieve that. I think that we're more than capable of that. I think this year proves how far we've come. I think if we get it right against the lesser teams, because I think against the top teams, we raise our game and we perform very well. I think against the lesser team, we drop our standards a little bit and let points slip away. I think if we didn't allow for that to happen this year, there's no reason why we couldn't have been in Champions League spot this year. So, and we're players that every player wants to play Champions League. So, and we're a club that, as I say, are so tactically and technically set up so well that I think we can compete with those big teams. I think that we'd give a good account of ourselves in the Champions League, and I wouldn't say that if we was to have got Champions League this year, we wouldn't be able to compete next, because I do believe we've got a squad, even the squad we have now, that's capable of competing.
Yeah, I suppose you kind of alluded to it there, but I was going to ask you, what do you think women's football in the UK in particular needs next to kind of make that next jump? I suppose one thing that kind of jumped to my head then was perhaps expanding the league and having a full 20-team division for more games, effectively.
I think expanding it ain't going to help. But I mean, as I say, I think that we're a team that are going places, want to play in the Champions League, and that's where we'll get our exposure. And I think next year, you know, we didn't have a good cup run in the FA Cup, and I think, you know, I'm more than confident that we'll do that next year.
Yeah. I suppose to end on then, what's the for people listening to this who perhaps don't know the Reading women's team so well, what is the one thing that they probably don't know about you as a person?
Me as a person? I'm funny. So funny, aren't I? What don't they know about me as a person? I don't know. What is there to know about me? It's probably all out there anyway. There's not much to know about me. I'm old now. I'm 34. Enjoy my football here. Want to play for as long as I can now. I'm starting to enjoy it again. That's it. Nothing else to know.
And still hoping for the...
Even outside of football. Quite funny in football. And hopefully win a trophy here before I retire.
And then, of course, the England qualification for the World Cup continues in the summer. And that's all, I suppose, going to plan to a large extent.
Yeah, I think it's a group that, regardless of who's in charge of us, we should come out of that group quite comfortably. So, yeah, it's nice that Phil's come in and we're continuing with winning our qualifying games. I think she believes, opened his eyes up to women's football and what getting to that next level and being competing at the top really feels like. I think playing the top three nations in France, Germany and America, you know, was an eye-opener for Phil and the team in where we're at and where we need to get at if we want to go and win this World Cup next year.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.
So thanks again to Farah for taking the time out just after training then. So perhaps if she sounds a little bit tired, that I was working, she'd been working hard before the Liverpool game. I'll also make a quick note to say that a bit of wind interference kind of curtailed her answer during the bit about potential league expansion. So if that sounded a bit weird, my apologies for that. And we'll move on into the final part of the show, where I spoke to Paula Martin, who has been involved in Star and all the sort of Club 1871 stuff around the men's team and goes to a lot of the women's games and helps out with the programmes and stuff. So just to get a fan perspective, I started by asking her what it's like and why she goes to Reading women's games. So if you could describe to me how you decided to go with the Reading FC women's team. Is it a case that you went for a team just because it was Reading FC? Have you always sort of watched women's football? How did you sort of decide that you were going to start going to those games?
I'm not really sure. Started several seasons ago when the Reading women were playing at Farnborough, and there was something, and I'm not sure where it was, asking for volunteers to help. So I went along and helped out just selling photos and, you know, really good old fashioned stuff like that. And it's just carried on from there. And I now generally sell programmes. So if you come to a women's game, you'll see me there selling the programmes.
Oh, very nice. So what sort of stuff goes into the programme then for a women's game? Is it, you know, the usual sort of stuff, programme notes from the manager and everything? Or is there sort of a little different sort of stuff that goes in?
It's very much the same sort of stuff, I suppose. In fact, like most of the women's game, it's probably a little bit more of a throwback to a previous era, in that there is, in fact, things like sponsorship of players and that sort of thing. So you get the pictures of all the players and who sponsors them, and you get match reports and the tables. And one of the other guys that helps us out sometimes volunteering writes the profile of the opposition. And yeah, it's all very much a usual sort of thing.
That's interesting that you sort of say as a throwback, because do you think that the nature of going to a women's game is kind of,
oh yes,
the way it goes on is old fashioned, sort of pay on the gate, terracing, all that sort of stuff?
Absolutely. No segregation. So I've never seen any problems, no trouble at all, and the players are seem to be much more accessible. At the end of the game, they'll often just come back to the touchline and sign autographs and talk to their families and things like that. You know, it's almost more homely than the men's game, and it really is. You feel more of a part of the family there. Sometimes I feel with the men's game, you feel you've lost touch a bit, but it's still there with the women's game.
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable. Sometimes when I've been in the Medeski Hotel after a Reading game, but I think Simon Cox was near me and my mate once, and he was like, "Oh, there's Simon Cox," and I was like, "Yeah, it's, you know, he's only a normal person sort of thing." And I suppose with the women's game, you are much more sort of interlinked, as in a sense.
Yes, they play at Avons Park usually, and if you go into Monty's bar after the game, you'll see. Usually, you know, their families are waiting there for them, and they'll come in and have a drink. They'll talk. The regular supporters, they know well. And it's just a very much more connected. Apart from that, the football's actually good football too.
Yeah, well, that is the sort of thing, because I was talking to a couple of the girls, as we've kind of just heard on the podcast, that the difference between the sort of the continental and the domestic teams can be a bit pronounced occasionally. How would you say the difference, obviously, between the men's and the women's game fares, in your sort of opinion, in terms of tempo and all these sort of things?
It's probably slightly slower. It's certainly less, how can I put it? The passes aren't with such speed and ferocity, but whether that's the reason, but the girls seem to have a better touch. There seems to be better techniques in some ways. I mean, I commented earlier this season that some of our men ought to watch them, because they were able to receive the ball facing their own goal, turn their opponents and go forward, which somehow never seemed to happen very often with the men.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, because another thing, how would you say the atmosphere is? Because when I sort of watch on TV, a lot of the time the women's game, you do get a lot more sort of kids, and certainly a lot more girls go as well. How would you say that translates into an atmosphere? Does it mean that chanting and those sort of things perhaps are put to the side to more general cheering and stuff, or how does that go?
It depends. Arsenal are particularly good. They've got a group of girls that make a lot of noise. We've got a group that at Adams Park get together and chant, and it's quite fun sometimes, because we'll sometimes set some of the young girls off going, and they'll copy us and do the same sort of chants. High pitched, of course, but you know, that's life. But and sometimes, like particularly with Arsenal, you can get a bit of a cross chant going, but it's all done in the best of spirits. So it's not quite like it's a much more like Club 1871 way of doing things, positivity rather than having a go at the other team.
Yeah, and how do you see this sort of progressing over the next few years then? Because I know that the women's team are hoping, I think by the time London Irish leave, I think they're hoping to sort of slot into Medeski Stadium and have their own go at it. I was talking to Far earlier
about how many games there are in a season, and obviously you want to build a league, but it has to be quality as much as quantity, or certainly more than quantity. Where do you see that going? Is it going to be a state where maybe in 10 years' time there will be a 15 or 20 team division at the Medeski Stadium that gets a good, you know, few thousand each week?
I'd like to see that. To be honest, it's needed, because the one thing that I find with it is because the games are very erratic in timing. You don't get that, the routine. Mm. You don't get that, oh, we're home this week, we're away next week, and all that. Because, I mean, sometimes we had, I know there was one occasion when we had a game on Wednesday, a game on Saturday, a game on Wednesday, all at home, and then nothing for 2 months. And for instance, when the She Believes Cup was on, there wasn't a game for a month. And it makes it very, very difficult to actually get into the rhythm of going to the games.
Yeah, and there's obviously the weekend game against Liverpool, the final home game of the season, and then they go to Everton afterwards to round off the season. If for any fans who are going to go along to that for the first time, what sort of players do you think they should be looking out for? What sort of system Reading play and that sort of stuff?
Well, we've recently got several good international players. As you said, there's Farah and Joe Potter and Jade Moore have joined us. But then you've got people like Kirsty Pearce, who's been our captain for several years. We've got an England squad keeper in Mary Earps, and the midfield we've got Remy Allen and Rachel Furness controlling it there. And then you've got people like Lauren Bruton and Kirsty Lynette playing up front. So there's actually, you know, a really nice balance to it. And I really enjoy going to the games. Whether it's because it doesn't mean quite so much to me as the men's game does, I don't know. Whether you're a little bit more relaxed about things, whereas the men's game, it can get rather tense at times, can't it?
Yeah, a bit more c'est la vie, I suppose, in terms of approach. I think it's just going to be a bit beyond them this year in terms of the Champions League. But my last question is, would you be up for a European tour with the women's team? Do you think that would still be such a great expedition for the club?
Oh, it would be amazing if we could get to the top two. I mean, but we've done very well this year against the top teams. You know, we did beat Man City, which doesn't happen very often, and then we got two draws against Chelsea, which says an awful lot. I think it's still a bit of a stretch because those are such established teams and well funded that I don't think we're likely to topple of either of them. But I'd love to see it happen. Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on tonight. I know you've got a Club 1871 meeting to get to, so the future of Reading Football Club needs to go and be sorted out. So I'll let you get off to that then. And thanks for popping on and talking about the women's team.
No problem, Mark.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.